Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Peabody Award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy, and you're listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. The Democrats have pulled out all the stops, not caring what bodies they leave in their wake. They're happy to destroy this great nation using any means necessary, as long as they can defeat President Trump in November. It doesn't get worse than this. We're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, USAF retired, was the former Assistant Vice Chief of the USAF and Director of the Defense Performance Review, reporting directly to SecDef and the Vice President when he retired after 35 years active duty. His many positions in his 35-year military career include 4 tours in Vietnam, Commander of Alaskan Air Command, Alaska NORAD Region, and Alaskan Command. He's a frequent military analyst on TV and national radio, including the Fox News Channel, and he's a member of the Citizens Commission on National Security. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to General Thomas McInerney. Welcome back, Tom.
Delighted to be back with you, Audrey. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so great to have you with us again. And well, let's jump in right here. I understand a Russian analyst living in the U.S. has been identified as Christopher Steele's primary dossier source, a man by the name of Igor Danchenko. Would you tell us about him?
Yes. It was just identified this week. He's a Russian analyst living in the United States. He was a primary source for Steele's dossier. He previously worked at the Brookings Institute under Strobe Talbot. Strobe Talbot, you remember, was under the Obama administration as the number two man in the State Department.
Right.
In January of 2017, he told the FBI that he was Steele's source. Now listen, January of 2017, and the president was inaugurated on January 20th, they knew who the primary source of this data was. It was not a Russian from Russia. It was a Russian living in the U.S. Now, he had far fewer connections to the Kremlin. He said that Page was a central figure in the conspiracy.
Right.
And we all know that Page was a CIA informant, and that was changed in his record by an FBI analyst, a lawyer. He said that Cohen flew to Prague, and we all know that Michael Cohen did not fly to Prague. It was another person. The dossier was Russian disinformation paid for by the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Now, Denshenko used to work with Fiona Hill. Fiona Hill of what fame? Of the impeachment testimony fame.
Right.
So now you start seeing, and she was then in the State Department, in the National Security Council and State Department.
Right.
And so you see the connections, what's going on in the swamp, and how this is all starting to spill over, and the false nature, which even that Mueller himself could never prove, and no one has been able to prove it, that there was collusion with the Russians. And so that was purely, for 3 years, this nation endured that, in $40 million, a false narrative by the Democratic Party. Again, it's the Democratic Party, the Obama administration, that planted this, and the mainstream media, as well as the Hill and the judicial department judges that approved those FISA warrants. All of that was in collusion, and those people were all complicit, and they are complicit to this day, as we've seen with General Flynn and Sullivan, Judge Sullivan, what he's trying to do to General Flynn, as we all saw yesterday, to what the Democratic Party in the House Judiciary Committee tried to do with Attorney General Barr.
Right.
They would not even let him answer questions yesterday.
It was unbelievable. It was so disrespectful. It really was.
We've never seen anything like it, Audrey. So we now know, I mean, that was the final nail in the coffin. When you have 100% of the House Judiciary Committee Democratic members who are supporting lawfulness in the country, those riots that are going on, they say peaceful demonstrations, those people are paid. Who are they paid for? By Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other organizations are funding those people to, quote, have peaceful demonstrations. They are no longer peaceful demonstrations, and the systematic racism that people are talking about, Audrey, is false. Larry Elder, the noted TV analyst and radio announcer, proved that without a doubt when I heard a review he did today, in which he said, the problem is not systematic racism in the United States. Good Lord, we had a president who was black for 8 years.
I know.
So what are we talking about? Probably a 25 to 30% of the House Judiciary Committee is a minority. And so Larry Elder pointed it out very well, in the Great Society, when we started funding black families, if they didn't have a male member, they were given money for each child. The Great Society was funding them to have children out of wedlock. And today, the percentage is something like 75% of all black children are born out of wedlock. And that's the problem. They grow up without the father, the manhood in the family, and they become parasites on this society. They have no discipline, and they go wild, and that's why there's so many in prison. It is not systematic racism. Look at the wealth in the black athletes, the black entertainers, and so many other black people in the country. It is not systematic racism. The Democrats are using that as a crutch. They use it every 4 years, and we must push back on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You had mentioned, which I appreciate, you mentioned the Barr's testimony. What did you think about the proceedings?
Well, I've never seen anything like it. Audrey, they wouldn't let him answer. As he said, I thought I was here for a hearing. You wanted to hear me. And they kept taking back their time, which is a polite way in the Congress to say, shut up and don't answer the question.
Right.
I've never seen anything like it. And so that drove anybody, if you have a slight brain, could easily see what the Democrats are trying to do. And it's showing up again now because they don't want to have, with the coronavirus, they don't want to give the president another bill. They want to have $3 trillion. The president and the Republicans are trying to have some balance in it. We still haven't spent over $1 trillion of the previous bill. And all they're trying to do is throw money at it. And they're trying to do anything to take this president out. And that's what America must understand. And I believe the issue is going to do it is the rioting going on in U.S. cities around the country.
Yeah.
The American people do not want lawlessness in our society.
No.
We've never seen anything like it, Audrey.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, one thing that bothered me, it seemed that Barr still refuses to classify Antifa as a terrorist organization. He said they were looking into domestic terrorism, but he said he didn't call them terrorists. What's the delay here? They are terrorists. They terrorize and kill people. What's going on here?
I don't understand that. He should clearly call not only Antifa a terrorist organization, Black Lives Matters is a terrorist organization because they're Marxists.
Yeah.
They want to change this society to be a Marxist society.
Right.
And what your people are seeing and what our listeners must understand, what's going on in these cities is what's going on in Venezuela. And we cannot let this happen. We must stand up. And I happen to believe that this president is going to win. It's going to be a tough fight, but an overwhelming majority, no matter how crooked the Democrats try to do it, the American people. And I believe that the majority of the, or a significant number of the minorities in the country, upwards of 40%, are going to vote for this president because they don't want the lawlessness. They're the ones that impacts on it most. Those in those poor parts in these cities, they're the one, like in New York City, you know so well what it's doing to New York City.
What a mess. What a mess.
It's a mess.
He's deranged. I mean, I already knew he was a Marxist, but he's deranged. He actually makes his mentor, Dinkins, look good.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it's unbelievable what Blasio has done to New York City in such a short time. And the people get what they elected.
Yeah.
But the impact and the number of deaths and the murders going on in Chicago, all around the country, is decidedly up because the Democratic Party is backing lawlessness in the United States. These are not peaceful demonstrations. Anybody this long after Floyd's death, and Floyd wasn't a racial issue.
Right.
It was a bad cop.
Bad cop, yeah.
And the fact is they have turned it into a racial issue, and now... And I'm around a lot of minorities. And the fact is they understand what's going on and the problem. And they don't like it because it impacts their community as much as anybody. There are more black youth killed by blacks, and it's a very small percentage by whites that kill white on black crime.
Right, right. Exactly. I want to talk about Durham for a moment. U.S. Attorney John Durham is reportedly feeling pressure to wrap up his investigation into the origins of the Russia probe by the end of the summer. But because his work is ongoing, he may wait until after the election to reveal his findings to avoid looking political. But, Tom, any delay due to concern of an appearance of being looking political before an election does not do the rule of law any justice, does it?
No. And that is not an acceptable answer. The fact is that was an intelligence situation that was not political. It was politicized.
Right.
And because it was an intelligence and the politicization of the intelligence system, it must come out before the election. We cannot let this ever happen again. And so Durham has no excuse. We already know, Audrey, you and I have been talking about this for so long. What is he waiting for?
Yeah.
My goodness. Every day we find out something new.
Yeah.
He ought to have it all wrapped up and have it in front of a grand jury and go to town on it.
Yeah, he shouldn't be concerned. This is, you know, when they say they're concerned about affecting the election, it's none of your business. It really is none of his business. His business is do your job. We're paying you to do your job. Just do your job and stop delaying.
Correct.
You know? So, yes, go ahead. I'm
now,
sorry.
Barr's got to drive him on that. Barr's the one that's going to make the decision on it. I mean, Barr knows, and particularly after yesterday's performance by the Democratic Party, and it was 100% Democrats that were coming up with these ideas about peaceful demonstrations and why do we have to protect a courthouse, et cetera, that they were on that the whole time and would not let him answer.
Yeah.
And so now they have identified it. They own it. The Democratic Party owns lawlessness in the United States. And we saw what the results were in the 60s when they did this. We can expect the same from the silent majority. I can tell you that the American people do not want to be able to not be able to drive through town or go anywhere and expect some people to demonstrate and trash their car and do everything else.
Yeah, yeah, threaten their lives. And, you know, look, Tom, they tried. The Russian dossier, the Mueller report, Ukraine call and impeachment, epic fail. So the Dems and their globalist cohorts are using fear of the, you know, with the populace. First, from a virus, treating it like a plague. Second, releasing violent criminals on our streets. And third, supporting violent rioting, as you've mentioned, and destruction on our in our major cities. Top that off with the hatred of all law enforcement, endangering their lives, and in turn, endangering our lives. What kind of nut job fiends are these politicians? And is this part of their ultimate goal of stopping President Trump?
Yes, it is. Audrey, you were spot on. The fact is, all the incidents that you have laid out are all related. And that's what the American people must understand, what the Democratic Party has become. Yesterday, Joe Biden got up and said, I'm going to be the most progressive president in the history of the United States. That means he's going to be the most communist president in the history of the United States. When people talk about the Green New Deal, which is part of Biden's plan, that means everybody listening, virtually everyone listening today, you're going to have to buy a new car, an electric car. It means you're going to have to build a new home that doesn't have, it only has a certain amount of windows in it and a certain kind of energy. All these things are going to be, it means that free college tuition that people are going to get, you're going to have to pay for in taxes.
Right.
It means open borders.
Right.
Anybody can come into the United States. All these things are part of the progressive agenda, which is a communist agenda. I spent 35 years in the Air Force defending the United States against communism, and now I'm not going to, sure as hell, not going to let this nation go down. And the people listening to this program must understand what we are facing. We have never faced anything like this before.
No, no, we haven't. You know, I have to ask you, Tom, why is it that the GOP cannot stay in lockstep? I'll give you an example. 72 Republicans voted with Democrats to change the names of military bases named after Confederate soldiers. These 72, as far as I'm concerned, are bowing down to BLM, a Marxist group, and helping to erase our history. Are they not?
Absolutely. And it makes me just as furious as you are about it, Audrey. People have got to understand, when we chose the names of those bases, it was in World War One. We built up to fight World War One, and that was some 50 years after the Civil War. And part of it was to appease and to bring together, because they're all in the southern part of the United States, was to bring together and help unify the nation and unify the public in those areas.
Right.
And so it was a gesture, as when Grant sent Lee home and he let him keep his soldiers the Confederate soldiers, people don't understand, were allowed to keep their weapons when they went back to the South. Lee was allowed to keep his saber. He didn't have to turn it over to Grant, which was a normal symbol that they used when a general surrendered. That was trained by Lincoln, driven by Lincoln and Grant, to try to keep this nation and bring it back together again. We now see that the nation is not together, and by taking these historical names down that nobody remembers who they were, they just remember that we fought two great wars and three wars since then defending this nation, and that's where they trained.
Yes.
And that's why it's important. That's why it's important that people see those statues and understand our history, what we've been through. But again, the plan is to try to divide us, tear those statues down. The people don't have a clue.
Right.
Try to erase our history.
Right.
We must remember our history and how we got where we are.
Yeah.
Why those Republican members would do that just boggles my mind. They don't understand.
No.
And frankly, the chairman and the Secretary of Defense don't seem to understand it either. I was taught that at West Point, why those bases were given the names when we started World War I. We were trying to continue to unify the nation. There was still disruption between the South and the North in the 1917 time frame.
Right.
We're trying to bring it together.
Right. We don't erase history. We learn from it. And this is what the whole cancel culture is about. I want one more thing here I would like to ask you. Florida Representative Ted Yoho, the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee for Asia, believes a violent confrontation between the United States and China could take place within months. Now, he's wary, of course, who isn't, of Beijing's expansionist foreign policy. And honestly, after their new national security law in Hong Kong, I'm concerned too. They may have a larger military in number, but they are no match for our military prowess. Do you think there's a chance of a conflict with us right now?
I think there is a chance, after what they've done in Hong Kong, is that they may try to seize Taiwan. Now, Taiwan is a very difficult problem for us. And I think that would be extremely challenging for our force structure. You know, our force structure is a mere, let me give you an example. We have 11 divisions today, maybe 12. At the height of the Reagan buildup, we were 24. When I came in at West Point in 1955, we had upwards of 24 to 30 divisions coming down from Korea and World War II. We had 40 fighter wings when I was the number three man in the Air Force as the assistant vice chief. We had 40 fighter wings. Today, we've got 12 fighter wings. All I can do, when I was a commander in the Philippines, I had a base up on Taiwan that we sat nuclear alert. That's gone. So all those capabilities that we used to have, we no longer have, and at the height of the Cold War. And so I think it would Taiwan would be very challenging to us to do, and particularly with the modernization that the Chinese have done with cruise missiles and intermediate range ballistic missiles. So it's in no one's interest that we get in a war.
No.
But China deliberately spread that virus. And what I think needs to be looked at is the CDC gave the Wuhan Institute $3.5 million or $3 plus million
right.
for studies. why did we not know what was going on in the Wuhan Institute? And then why did the Chinese, knowing that it had gotten loose, why did they not tell the rest of the world so we could have isolated them? So they deliberately let it spread, and the problems that we have had since late March in the United States are all China's fault, and I would make them pay for it.
Yes.
Now, but the world must do it. China depends upon the world economy. And so we are going into, and I think that what we need to look at is to have a what I call a Pacific Area Treaty Organization, a PADO, focused against China, like we have NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Right.
We ought to get South Korea, Japan, the Philippines, the Malaysians, the Australians, the New Zealanders, the Indonesians, Indians, a whole host of those are candidates, some may or may not join. A whole host of these countries ought to be interested into the spread of what is happening in China and their expansionist process, what they are doing in the South China Sea, and all this. It is a very dangerous situation, and I think Ted Yahoo's point is extremely important, Audrey.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree. Tom, where can listeners follow and support your excellent work and the work of CCNS?
At Citizens Commission on National Security .org is their webpage, and all my radio shows, et cetera, I do with you, Audrey, go on the CCNS, the Citizens Commission on National Security webpage.
Excellent. As always, I will have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and information that the general just shared. Thanks so much, Tom, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.